But one of the questions that I've been getting a lot lately is, how much sin is in the church?
Really?
How much? There's a lot of sin going on in the church. There's some people believe you can drink, but you can't get drunk. But, you know, you can have this, you can have that. And, you know, and you have to learn that God's a God of love. Yeah, he is a God of love, but he doesn't love sin. Mm-mm. And, you know, you got to understand that the world today loves the first Adam more than they do the second Adam. Mm. You see, the second Adam was Jesus Christ. The first Adam is the one that sinned. The second Adam is the one that didn't sin. Mm. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And then also they asked me, they said, but Jesse, how can I? It just seems like you make it so easy walking through life. Me, I just get tempted all the time and fall. And they always fall. So they have a lot of bruises. They don't bear the marks of a Christian. They bear the marks of Satan, being beat up, busted, stomped, and kicked. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it's about living for Jesus, because I've said it so many times, and I'm going to say it again. In fact, I think it's on one of our Faith the Facts, that the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Yeah, that is a very important statement.
Yeah, you've said that for years.
Yeah, and I really believe that.
So true.
Also, I'm very careful about what I do in my life as a minister of the gospel, that I don't bring offense to the ministry. You see what I'm saying?
Well, cast a reflection on Christ.
Yeah, I want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon him, like you said.
That's good.
And things of that nature, that doesn't mean people don't say bad things about me or bad things about anybody, whatever. That's not the issue. The issue is that none of them are true. And, you know, I've learned to live that. But Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and there's some problems in this church.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on. There are problems in churches. And first thing, I want to talk about temptation. First thing first, I don't know why people sweat it so much when you've been redeemed completely. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalms 107, verse 2. And people say, but Jesse, before you were saved, you drank a lot. Yeah, I drank a lot. You name it. My background was sin. I mean, personified. Couldn't get any better. Chief of sinners, you know, that's just how I was. Until when the Lord came in my life, something happened. Why would I love something that I now hate? Mm-hmm. Why would something that I was delivered from would cause me to be tempted?
Right.
When I'm a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away.
That's good.
Behold, all things become new. But people say, yeah, but sometimes going through these things are kind of tough. Well, let me show you what Jesus said through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to start reading with verse 13. This is an amazing verse, and I really like this. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Let me stop right there. In other words, if Satan tempts you with something, he can't tempt you with something you don't already know about. In other words, if it's not common to you, he can't use it.
Right.
So why would you fall for something you already know about? Think about that. And what else you want to do that the world does? See, let me read that again. But there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful to do what? Who will not permit you, the word suffer, that means permit, to be tempted above that you are able. So right there, that's a winner going somewhere to win. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now watch this. There hath no temptation taken me such as common to man. So I remember years ago, you've heard me say this before, when I used to drink a lot, you know, when I got born again, the pastor of the first church I went to, he was really concerned that if I got around booze, that I'd mess up, because I mean, I enjoyed drinking. I mean, I was an alcoholic and enjoyed it. I hate to say it, but that was the truth. But now we say, well, how? I mean, and I would ask him, and, you know, we use 2 Corinthians 5, same thing, they have no temptation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new.
Right.
And he said, it doesn't seem to bother you. I said, well, it can't bother a dead man. See, when I got born again, I was reborn. That old man died.
Right.
But see, so when the devil brings up something that I used to do, I said, that's all you got? That's it? See, because I understand that. I did that. See, if it's not common to me, he can't use it. He can't use his knowledge of way back when to tempt me in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So when booze would come around me, I wasn't even tempted. I said, that's all you got? You got to be kidding me. That was common to me. You see, that God made me a way of escape. What is the escape? Believing what Jesus said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Say what he said. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Right.
So they have no temptation. So many people ask me, man, I have a lot of temptation. I used to smoke a lot of weed. Man, I'm still struggling with weed. Why? Why? Now, I want to get straight with this here. Because you see, what is happening in this last day and time, sin is coming into the church. People are afraid to say things. They used to stand up for what was right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like I never thought that a Pentecostal denomination would actually embrace drinking.
Allow it.
And yeah, they say you can drink, but you can't get drunk. Well, that happened a few years back. Now, most of those people that are doing that, they're in sin up to their neck right now.
So
some
sad.
Of them are getting divorces.
Sad.
I've had pastors' kids come up to me just crying and say, I saw so-and-so drunk as a skunk, messing around, all that kind of stuff. Well, before they adopted that, they didn't live like that. Which brings me to verse 21. I'll let you read that. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You see, what's happening is Satan is trying to take the cup of demons and devils and mix it with the cup of the Lord. He wants to mix sin with the covenant of purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, you don't hear about this much anymore in church. You don't hear much about sin, you know. I mean, people living together, well, hey, they love each other. Well, it has nothing to do with the love part. It has to do with the responsibility part. What do you mean by responsibility part? Which means, do you love this woman? Yeah, you want to sleep with her? She want to sleep with you? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you love her. Yeah, you really love her? She love you? Yeah, well, here, sign the contract. Oh, you don't like that, do you? Sign the contract, which means this. Sign this. And then after you sign this contract, which is called a certificate of marriage, go knock yourself out. I don't care how much sex you have. It doesn't make any difference because the Bible said they have you can't defile the marriage bed. My point is you got to be responsible to her. She has to be responsible to you. We're not trying to make things harder. You see, God is trying to say, lady, I want to protect you so you don't be used or abused. Or mister, I want to protect you so you don't be used or abused. You see, but you see, now that's common.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Wait a minute. Common to what? See, Satan is trying to mix the cup of devils with the cup of God,
right.
And it cannot
be. Right. I think people misunderstand the love of God. They think because God loves you, that gives you a license to do anything
to
and
sin.
Everything
yeah.
you want.
Can't.
But God, because God is love, He knows what is good for us, just like a parent knows what is good
for... Do you love me?
Yeah. Yes.
Can I do anything I want?
No, you cannot.
Gotcha. There you go. I had to throw that in there. Okay.
Yeah,
you proved what you just said.
Even I don't like it when he comes into my plate when I'm eating. I call him the seagull because I never know when he's going to swoop in. No, he does that, but I don't like it, and he shouldn't do it. But anyway, we all have little boundaries. Some of them are really huge boundaries, and they need to be there.
Sure.
And sometimes when they trespass. But the point was that I was trying to make, before you interrupted me, which he... He was talking like for like 10 minutes. Did you hear? And I didn't really interrupt him. And then I tried to get a word in there.
Still making excuses here.
And then anyway.
Talk to the people, Kathy.
But what I meant to say was because of God loves us so very much, He knows what is beneficial to us. He knows the things that will hinder us and hurt us along the way. So He doesn't want us to walk down that path, whether to be to partake of something that's going to hinder
right.
us, whether it's that one drink, because we all know that, you know, You could easily keep walking down the path. We know many who have. So it's just good
sure.
to discipline yourself and exercise self-control and partake of the things that are good for you.
That's right.
And it'll help your spiritual world.
And I've said that to people. I said, what else you want to do that the world does? See, so I like to live a pure life because let's just face it. You people that know me, have been knowing me for years, you watch what I do. I mean,
right.
you know, and boy, if I blow this thing, are you going to let me know real
right.
quick? So I decided that I would separate myself because there's a scripture that says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, well, in fact, let me go over the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm just saying you what God is saying here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. First, I want to read verse 3. It says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. So it's my responsibility to live a clean and holy life so that I don't bring blame on the ministry. Now, you know, I'm just as human as anybody else. And I'm going to say something going to shock you. Sex. Well, I tell you what, that's the number one word in the world, isn't it? You can't buy a tube of toothpaste without seeing a woman in a bikini or some kind of something like that. You know, just and all it is trying to make a few dollars and things of that nature. And they call it the oldest profession in the world.
It's not
prostitution.
Though. I found out, you know, it's not. Did you know that?
No, it's not.
The oldest profession is landscaping.
It's landscaping. That's right.
that's
right.
What
because he told Adam
did.
To keep it.
Keep the garden.
Dress it.
Yeah,
and
that
keep
was
it.
Before the other thing.
But watch this. In other words, so you look at a prostitute like, oh, she's bad, but the guy that makes her the prostitute, you don't say nothing about him.
Huh.
Now, that's prejudice right there. You want prejudice? That girl, oh, she's just about a whore. You know, but what about the guy that went with her? Oh, you know, he's a man. You know, men are like, no. You see, you putting your sin on her, just like that lady that was caught in the act of adultery. Where was the guy that committed adultery with her?
True.
See, that's my point, you see. But what I have done so that I don't bring offense to the ministry or
don't bring
offense, that I don't bring it to God because I don't want to trample on his blood, is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I love verse 17. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Mm-hmm. Now you think about that, Milo, when you understand verse, that's what verse 15 said. How can you serve Christ and the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Mm-hmm. Okay, not that we're better because we saved, but we should be an example spiritually, physically, and financially. You see, now I want to go back. I'll come back to this again, and you might want to read something amplified. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So in other words, let me say this again. If you've had a problem with running around with women, you know that devil going to make sure that it's going to come at you, especially since you're born again. You know what I'm saying? Now watch this. Yeah, but that's common to you. So why would you fall for something you already know about? That's amazing to me. It's kind of like saying, I'm not going to gain weight. I'm going to eat this dozen donuts, but I'm going to drink skim milk with it.
Now, why you have to bring up donuts?
I don't know. I just brought it up. Praise the Lord. See, she got a problem with donuts. She loves donuts.
I used to work in a donut shop. My brother, I loved his joke. He said, she makes a lot of dough. That's where I learned to really get, I guess I got addicted to donuts.
You could eat those a lot
in
those days.
I did. I must admit, you know, about a month or two ago, you don't know this. Coming clean. I was driving down the road and the hot light was on for the Krispy Kreme donut
shop.
You
went in there?
I drove through the drive-thru and I got me a half a dozen.
Did you eat?
And a little pint of milk. And I ate it all.
Oh, well, I tell
and
you.
And I enjoyed it. But of course, I didn't eat supper. That was like my supper.
Oh, oh now here we go with these. But I didn't eat supper.
You brought up the donuts.
You have no way. You know where cellulite comes from?
We're not
talking. Donuts. Got them little holes. They all love you, but just thought it. Anyway.
Just change the subject.
Look at it. Oh, she don't like that. See. And it's not wrong with eating a donut. My point is that you can have a dozen donuts. That's not the issue. But in your mind, well, I'm going to eat less calorie by drinking skim milk.
I had whole milk,
whatever it is. Doesn't make no difference. My point is you're trying to justify something, and you shouldn't. You can't put those two things together.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with eating. I've had many people say you can eat anything you want. You want cake, you want donuts, fine. But you use some
moderation,
common sense.
Right.
Yeah, moderation or whatever, you know, whatever.
Well, ultimately, I know it's real easy for our human nature to blame someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Flip Wilson years ago, the devil made me do it? But we have to take responsibility for our own choices and realize that the choices that we make have consequences.